but he was to endeavor to imitate me. And the Christian witness is not just an impartation of information, but it's also a demonstration of the life that goes together with the teaching. So it's a proclamation of teaching, and then it's a demonstration of what that teaching looks like in a living person, an example of a human life. That's what this Jesus empowers us by his Holy Spirit to go out into the world and copy and paste his character. Not only declaring the salvation that brings us into that place where his Holy Spirit can dwell within us, but then how to live that life by the Spirit. And what we've been doing for this series is we're looking at New Testament characters that are commended for their character. And we're looking to see in their lives what can we copy and paste into our lives that we can see copied and pasted into other people's lives. And today we're going to look at Titus. Titus was also one of the guys that traveled with Paul. He was part of Paul's apostolic team. And there's quite a bit written to him, written about him, and some things written to him. But we're going to look in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 18 to kick it off. And it says, I urged Titus to go, and I sent the brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of any of you? Did we not act in the same spirit? Did we not take the same steps? And here again, we see that beautiful thing where Titus was imitating Paul. Paul is saying, I have trust to send Titus to you and tell me that he not act with the same heart that I did? Did he not act? Does he not act with the same spirit and does he not behave in the same way? And Paul had this complete confidence to send Titus because he knew Titus would carry on with that same integrity of spirit that Paul interacted with the Corinthian church. And he was carrying that well-being, that same spirit that Paul had received from Jesus. If we look at 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 16, this is what it says there. But thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you on his own accord. And this is so beautiful. We see here again, Titus was carrying the same earnest concern, that same deep care for the Corinthians that Paul had. So he had learned that from Paul, and he was continuing that on. And that's a beautiful quality, that deep care for the welfare of other people. We looked at that in quite some detail when we were looking at Timothy last week, so we're not going to go into that particular quality. But there's something here taking place the inner workings in Titus's heart. And it's interesting to see that he was copying Paul's example. So there was an external stimulus. He saw that example from without that he copied. But there was also a motivation from within. There was something going on within his heart that was also motivating him. So not just the external observation, but that there was an internal planting going on by the Holy Spirit. And that's a beautiful grace that God provides. God calls us to a life of love, and he calls us to a high standard of selfless living. But at the same time, he motivates us, and he empowers us to live that life. We can't do it in our own strength. What happened with Titus, and that's what's so beautiful about this verse. It says there, listen, just think about this. Thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. Just consider that the God of heaven implanted something into Titus's heart. How's about that for a miracle? A human heart can be a recipient of something beautiful from God, a beautiful characteristic of Christ, and a heart that is open. God says, for all our weakness and for all our humanity, if our hearts are open, God can implant something in there that is going to impact the world, that's going to change the world and reflect Jesus in the world. And It's something that's so beautiful, that internal motivation that God put into his heart. The cool thing is that if we spend time with God and we come to him with a receptive heart, there's so much he wants to put in there. And it's quite a thing that we come to God and we say, God, remove out of my heart my own selfish ambition. Remove out of my heart the pursuits of all the other things that you don't really consider that important. And I open my heart up to you so that you can put something precious into it. And we sit in the presence of God and there's an impartation of something of the beautiful nature of God. Isn't that incredible? That a human heart can be the receptacle, can be the channel, can be the container of stuff from the God of heaven, from the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we look in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16, it says this, but thanks be to God. I'm just going back there, guys. There's a lot of Corinthian scriptures today, so I might get a bit confused. It says there, what I'm wanting to look at is that word, own accord. Okay, right at the end of verse 17 there. He's coming to you, he's doing it out of his own accord. So there's that, not only the external appeal, because Paul says there was the appeal, but he says he's coming of his own accord, so that internal motivation. And I love the word own accord. In the Greek, the word is autothyros, thyretos. The auto we know from autobiography, when you write a story, your book about auto is self, and that other the other word, hieretizo, means to choose. So it means self-chosen. So there was a need here, and Timothy was self-chosen. He said, I see there's a need, I pick me for that. And if you look at its meaning in the lexicon, it's self-chosen, voluntary, a free choice, acting spontaneously. It's not self-promotion, but it's a willingness to pay the price and serve the need, serve the thing that needs to be done. And that's what Timothy was like. A willing heart, that willing heart gives us such joy and motivation. But there's that thing in our hearts of God, we want to do this, Lord. We want to be a blessing in this situation. We want to be a blessing to that person. And it gives us such a joy. It's not a drag when there's that spirit of pick me. When we go, Lord, I'm choosing to do this. No one's coercing me. I'm not saying yes with my mouth and no with my heart. You put this in my heart, God, and I want to do it. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3 to 5. This is talking about the same thing, and this was in the Corinthians. And it says, this is actually Paul writing to the Corinthians about the Thessalonians. He says, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. And this was this church. They had that same spirit, that same self-chosenness. They said there was a need. What was happening was there was a famine in the church in Jerusalem, and the saints were in need. And these guys there in Greece, they were like, please, please, Paul. They begged him, please, please, can we help? Please, can we send some resources? Please. They had that self-chosenness about them, a willingness. And there's a little meme for the younger generation and for the old. I couldn't resist, from Shrek.
Anyone? Oh, it's me! Oh, I know me!
That donkey was like, me, pick me! I'll go, I'll do it, I want to come with you. And he was so enthusiastic. And that was what these guys were. They begged for the opportunity to be a part of this thing. And that's the spirit that was so characteristic of Titus, and that's something that we would love to be able to copy and paste. What does that look like in our lives? Because we want to cultivate that culture of willingness to further God's purpose. We need to ask, what is God wanting us to do personally? How can we advance someone's welfare? Who is that person? Who are those people whose lives our life touches that God wants us to advance their welfare? And what is it that God wants us to do for them? Is it maybe spending time with an unbelieving friend so we can pray for opportunities to love them and to share Christ with them? Is it to spend time with a younger Christian to just go through God's word with them and disciple them, be an example to them? Is it just being an example in our workplace? Is it finding a way to bless those in the community around us? Is it meeting a need surrounding the service of the gathering of the saints? Maybe it's as simple as being as simple and as profound as important as being intentional in imparting to our children or our grandchildren the beautiful principles of Christ, demonstrating Christ to them, teaching them His ways and His word. We need to ask God, Lord, what do you want to put in my heart? I want to be a receptive heart to what you want to put in there to minister into this world. And again, once again, the most wonderful example of this was the person of Jesus Christ, Jesus himself. And let's look in John 10, verse 17. It says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Isn't that so beautiful? Jesus said, "I don't have to do this. Nobody can take my life. Not Pilate, not the Pharisees, not the high priest. I am choosing to do this." He said, "I could have called for a legion of angels to stop what they were doing to me. But he said, I am laying down my life. No one has the authority to take it." And then he said, "I could say no. But," he said, "what I'm doing here is I'm obeying my Father. My Father loved the world. And my Father knows the only way to save the world is for me to die on the cross for their sins, pay the price, take the punishment, and rise again. And I'm not motivated by the need, per se, and I'm not being forced into this. I want to obey the Father. I want to obey what the Father has put into my receptive heart. And I'm willing to go through this." And that's what was so powerful about Jesus. He had the boundaries. No one forced him. He chose willingly to give that incredible price to obey the Father and to save the world from their sin. What a great quality in Titus that we can imitate and seek to be like him. But let's see what else we can learn from Titus. We go to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 23. And it says, Paul says, "As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the church, of the churches, to the glory of God." And here, like Titus, just like Timothy, we see that Titus worked together with Paul for the benefit of the churches. There's a lovely word there, partner. He was a partner. That's koinonos. It means a sharer, a partaker, a partner. He had this heart to say to Paul and to the rest of the team, "I'm by your side. Let's do this together. Let's work together. Let's help one another. Let's pull together. Let's push the scrub across the line. Let's get into rhythm and row the waka. Together we can do this." And he was this team player. We looked at that in detail in Timothy's life. But to be able to give up our own preferences and our own comfort sometimes and work for the vision and the purpose of the team, of the body. And he had that same spirit. And he was just great to have on team. But there was something special that Titus brought to team. And this is another quality we're going to look at. There was something that really stood out about him. And if we go to 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, it says, Paul says, "When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened to me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went to Macedonia." Isn't it amazing how many times Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing this great letter of the Corinthians, how many times he mentions Titus? It's like fantastic. This young man had such an impact on his life, and it was such an influence in supporting him. And Paul, you can see he really valued Titus' presence so much that when Titus wasn't there, he was expecting Titus to be there. He was unsettled. He was troubled. He's like, and we don't know exactly why. It could have been because out of his concern for Titus, he was wondering why he was there. There was no cell phones. There was no email. He was like, I didn't find him there as I was expecting. He would have been concerned about him. And it could well have been because he really needed a trusted companion in that ministry to minister with him and fight back to back. But I think probably as we read on, we'll see as much as anything, he was missing Titus's warm and encouraging presence. He was missing what Titus brought to the team. And if we look at what else the scripture says, we can be fairly sure this had a part in Paul being really troubled when he didn't have Titus there to help him. And 2 Corinthians 7 verse 5 says this. For even when we came to Macedonia, sorry guys, I think I've, what am I doing here? That's the next Corinthians scripture. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 5 says, for even when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. Interesting that the Apostle Paul faced situations like that. And he says, but God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Isn't that just so beautiful? For one thing, just him coming brought such comfort to the Apostle Paul. Oscar Wilde, in his very often cynical quotes, he said something once, some cause happiness wherever they go, others whenever they go. Titus was definitely in the former category. Wherever he went, whenever it was, he brought that comfort. And it's such a wonderful thing, because what a cool description of God. The God who comforts the downcast. That's a title of God. That's an attribute of God. God is a God who comforts the downcast. And the word there is our old friend. We all know it. It's the one Greek word I think we know so well. Paraklesis. Paraklesis. And we recognize that in the name of the Holy Spirit. The other comforter, the other counselor, the parakletos. The one who, it means to come alongside. It means to come and be present where the speaker is. So it's just, that's what the paraklete, that's what parakaleo means. To come and be present with the other person. To come alongside them, to encourage them. It means to instill someone with courage and cheer and comfort, to encourage them, to cheer them up. And that's what the Bible says, this is who our God is. When we are downcast, the word there is to be, he just comes and he lifts us up. He finds a way to lift us up. And Titus let God put that into his heart. Because when he came, he just brought that comfort. Paul was like, oh man, I was really battling. And then Titus came. What a nice thing to be able to say. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction, and with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so that through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. This is another beautiful passage. Here God is called the God of all comfort. The other one is the God who comforts the downcast. Here it says he's the God of all comfort. And it promises, he promises he will always bring us encouragement and comfort and strength when we are afflicted. And afflictions happen in this life. And I'll tell you something, afflictions happen in this life when we choose to serve Jesus. They happen to everybody, but sometimes it's almost like the enemy focuses on those who choose to stand up for Jesus. And the word affliction means there, it means pressure, anguish, burden, trouble, pressing, oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress, persecution. Those things we're going to face, especially as we stand for what Jesus stands for in this world. But God says, when you're in that pressure, I will comfort you. And then the beautiful thing is, he says, but the comfort I give you is a gift to comfort other people. Your suffering is never in vain in Christ. Because if you'll engage God in that time of affliction and receive comfort and strength from him, you have a testimony. You're able to go and identify with others in the same pressurized situation. You can bring them a gift of the comfort that God gave you. He gave you gift to them. Doesn't that just lift suffering to a whole new level? God is actually at work to give me a testimony to be a blessing to others. And one preacher always says, don't waste your suffering. Don't be suffering for no purpose. When you're going through something, go, Lord, what is your redemptive purpose for this? You're the God of all comfort. Show me what your comfort is and give me that gift so that I can give it to others. So that my pain, my suffering can be a bridge to somebody else's pain. And I'll be able to lift them up in the future. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful quality? The God of all comfort. And God comforts them. If we just go back to our passage there, Timothy was the instrument of bringing that comfort. I love the anecdote I read about Hudson Taylor when in the 1800s, he was in China, missionary to China, and he lost his wife and children to illness. His whole family wiped out. He's out there in China trying to serve the Lord, and he was so discouraged. And he was completely downcast and broken. And then God brought him, not a miraculous vision, he brought him comfort by the arrival of a fellow worker called John McCarthy. And Hudson Taylor testified this. He said, he came, he took my hand, and we just wept together. He didn't speak many words, but the sheer presence of a brother who understood the pressure broke the dark cloud. God comforted me with the coming of my brother, a true Titus. And he didn't say many words, he just came with comfort. He came with understanding. What a beautiful thing to be able to bring that into other people's lives. Those words to lift up. It's beautiful here in chapters 2 Corinthians 7:13. It says, therefore we are comforted, and besides our own comfort, we rejoice still more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by all of you. And can you see this spirit of comfort has actually permeated the body. And Titus was refreshed by the believers in Corinth. There was this beautiful atmosphere of mutual encouragement, mutual paraclesis. Everyone enjoying each other's joys and refreshed by each other. And actually mourning, the Bible also says, mourn with those who mourn. That's part of it. When we mourn with those who mourn, we understand their afflictions when they're going through those afflictions. And we joy with them when they are comforted by God. And what lovely things for us to just say, Lord, fill our community with that. We want hearts that are receptive to you, so that we can be a community of people filled with these beautiful qualities, and a community that expresses us. And then we just want to, just two more scriptures we see in Titus 3 verse 12. It says here, when I sent Artemis and Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollo on their way. See that they lack nothing. So here, this is not Paul writing to the Corinthians about Titus. This is Paul writing to Titus. And we can see from this that Titus is willing to go wherever God sends him. He's willing to go where the need is. He has an influence, just like we saw with Timothy. His influence goes beyond just the local church. He's got a heart for beyond his town, beyond his region, even beyond his nation. And he is willing to go to other nations on God's mission. And we need to just cultivate that heart as we open our hearts and say, God, who is it? God might give us a people to pray for. a people to go where we can go and encourage the church. And we need to have that translocal vision like Titus had. And then also, not only did he have the heart to go, but he also had the vision and the commitment to help those who were going. So Paul said, a Zenas and Apollo. Apollo had an apostolic ministry that he traveled around the churches, encouraging the churches and seeing people getting saved. And Paul's saying to Titus, do what you can to bless and encourage them, to comfort them, to spur them on, to speed them on, to help them in their mission. And we must be just as receptive to the translocal ministries that come to us, that we have our hearts open to receive their ministry, but also that we pray for them and see how God, how we can send them on their way and support them in their going out. And that's a beautiful concept that we want to really grow in our hearts. And then finally, the last thing we see about Titus is in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 6. And here it says, accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. This is talking about how the Corinthian churches were sending the money to Jerusalem, and Titus was being used in that situation. He was a facilitator there. And Paul says, I've got full trust in Titus. Not only is he a self-starter, not only is he self-chosen volunteer, not only has he got that willingness, but he's actually got the willingness to persevere through the end, till the end of the season. And in all of our lives, there's seasons where we can do things, and there's seasons where we can't. But when God has given us a mission, that there's going to be opposition to that. But Titus also had this, I'm going to see this thing through to the end. I'm going to finish the mission that God has given me. And what a wonderful thing to end your life, like David said. The Bible said he fulfilled the purpose of God for his generation. And we want to be able to say that at the end of our lives. Jesus, the stuff you put in my heart. Not, we don't have to respond to every need. We want to respond, but we want to have open hearts. So God says, those are the people, that's the person. Those are the nations that I want you to play a part in being like that. So may God help us. May he grow this in us, that we would be a people who carry what Titus carried, that same concern for the welfare of others, that willingness to say, God, pick me. God, I'll be part of the solution. We want to be a part of it. We want to serve. And then that beautiful heart of bringing comfort and encouragement to those around us, bringing happiness and joy wherever we go. And then that perseverance to keep going until the Great Commission is finished, until every nation is discipled. And that's the end that Jesus gave. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. And I will be with you even till the end of the age. So there's the parameters of our mission, guys. It's going to go on until the end of the age. And it's going to go on to all nations. And we just need to be going, Lord, as individuals, Lord, as a local church. We want hearts open to what you want to implant in there. So Lord, I really pray that, thank you for your word this morning, and just this wonderful biography of a man who you used, God. A man who was mentioned in dispatches so often, Lord God. He was mentioned so often. He was such an encouragement to the Apostle Paul, Lord. And we want to copy and paste, Lord. So please, by your Spirit, we can't do this in our own strength, Lord. But help us not just to hear the word and then kind of forget it, Lord. Help us just work in our hearts, Lord, as we just close with our attention on you. Holy Spirit, do the work in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.